This hour, though, it's time for our Monday evening quarterback. We got lots to talk about. Before we get there, you know, I want to thank Brian Noonan Friday for filling in for me. I had a dental emergency on Friday. I had a tooth extraction. Very painful. Not unlike what happened yesterday with the Bears-Chargers. That's why I feel like I bring it up to talk a little bit about what we saw on the field at Soldier Field. The good, the bad, and the naggy. That's what we'll talk about tonight. The Monday evening quarterback with Adam Hoge, 312-981-7200. The good, of course, the Chicago Bears defense. The bad, I don't know, Eddie Pinheiro and the Bears offense. And the naggy, who made some questionable calls, even at the end of the game, as everyone is focusing on what happened with the kneel down and taking the field goal instead of running some plays. That has overshadowed some of the questionable play calling that had been played out on the field before that fourth quarter drive. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Adam Hoge, of course, covers the Bears for WGN and WGNRadio.com/Bears. Got a great piece up right now. Adam Hoge, I don't even know. I when we started the Monday evening quarterback, I thought this was going to be fun, and there's going to be a lot of, we're going to have some joyous moments, but it seems right now that the Bears are in the thick of it.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, should we be blaming ourselves? You know, we took a year off from doing this, and the Bears won 12 games.
I think about it every Sunday. All right, so, I guess we start kind of calling this segment the good, the bad, and the naggy. Let's start with Matt Nagy. He's taken a lot of heat nationally. I was watching ESPN last night, Deadspin, other places that are taking shots at what the coach did at the end of the game, the questionable call to kneel and take the field goal with plenty of time and a timeout left in his pocket. He yesterday had a strange press conference after the game, and it seems like he doubled down on that at Halas Hall today.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's a little short-sighted of him to completely dismiss the questioning that you could potentially run the football there. I mean, I wrote about this going back. I looked this up because Mark Trestman did this in Minnesota in 2013 in a game that really kind of started the downward spiral of the Mark Trestman era. It's the Bears' last game at the Metrodome, and he chose to kick on second down with like 4.5 minutes left in overtime in a tie game. And he just was like, oh, we're in field goal range, we're going to kick it, and Robbie Gould missed it. And it was just kind of silly because you still had plenty of time and plenty of opportunity to move the ball forward. And his explanation at the time was, yeah, but you could have a penalty, you could have a sack, you could have a turnover, all these negative things could happen. And it's like, yeah, but
that's football.
You could also miss a 47-yard field goal.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's the same thing yesterday. Yeah, but you could also miss the field goal. And I remember doing the math back in 2013. I haven't run it yet on what the Bears are doing this year. But the amount of times the Bears that year had committed, at least the percentage of plays in which the Bears had committed a turnover or a penalty was only like 6%, which is obviously a much lower percentage than possibly missing a field goal. Especially one that's in the 40s. Now, Pinheiro's was 41 yesterday. He's certainly having a good year, or at least was coming into this game. And I understand why Matt Nagy expects him to make that kick. He should make that kick. And I also think he's in a little bit of a tough spot because he's clearly having a problem trusting his quarterback. Mm. And I think that's fair to say, well, yeah, I don't want to put the ball up in the air. But he can't really say that. Because it just, you can't say that you're not trusting your quarterback, but to dismiss the questioning altogether was a little short-sighted. Yeah. But I will give him credit. He was passionate in defending it, and he did it again today, not only doubling down, but actually calling out reporter Mark Potash and really zeroing in on him and kind of questioning the reporter on what he would have asked, had the Bears run the ball there and fumbled it.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The problem I have right now with the tone, the passive-aggressive and questioning tone of the Bears coach after a loss in which he was one of the reasons, if not the reason, that the Bears lost. It's a different Matt Nagy than we've seen before. And to be honest, we haven't seen Matt Nagy under pressure where he's got an under 500 team, where things are going south, not going north. It's just not a good look for the Bears coach to be starting to go after the Bears media for asking questions that seem pretty obvious.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm saying here. I mean, I think the questioning was completely fair. And you know what? Today he acknowledged that it was fair, and he understands that, you know, the reporters have to play the what-if game, even if he doesn't want to. Look, I also am around these coaches so much, and I understand how much work they put into it. And when they lose games, especially games ugly, where they know it looks bad, I can also understand when they get a little bit defensive. And I think Nagy came into that press conference understanding that they lost this football game way earlier than the missed field goal. You know, there were so many things that they could have done better, that he could have done better. And we're going to talk about that here in the hour. So to narrow it down on this field goal, when he can't trust his quarterback, and again, the kicker needs to make that 41-yarder, I sort of understand where he's coming from. And I also want to, before we, you know, kill him for other things here from a play-calling standpoint, which I definitely will be doing here in this hour, I do want to give him credit. Because today, Matt Nagy stood up there for 28 minutes at House Hall, and yes, it's his job, but he also has other places to go. And a member of the Bears PR staff tried to tell him at 17 minutes into the press conference that he had to go, and Nagy said, nope, I'm fine. We're going to answer these questions. And he answered 12 more questions before finally he was ushered out of there. So he answered the bell today. And I do think, okay, you know, I just want to give him credit for that, because not everybody would do that. Like John Fox, for instance.
Yeah. And, the problem I see with Matt Nagy right now is that, you know, he last year was lauded for his flexibility, his ability to be creative or to be flexible and use different packages and try to break the norm. And it seems almost the early success in his career has cemented him into this way that he does things this way and he won't go a different way. As we're seeing, the Bears look a lot more comfortable when Mitch Trubisky gets under center and they run the ball. And he looks like it's almost like he's being passive aggressive with the choice to do so. What's happening there? It seems this year is a little bit more of Matt Nagy, who just won't get out of the way of his own ego.
Yeah, part of it might be ego, part of it might be just his own belief in, he always talks about BU, and he clearly believes in his system, he believes in his offense, he believes in what he was brought up in, which is this West Coast-style scheme. And, you know, I get that it's hard to go against what you believe in. But the reality is, and this is what I wrote about today on WGNRadio.com, and I'm sure we'll go into it in depth here. I know we're short on time here before break, but you know, this idea basically that, okay, but what if the Bears actually started to find their identity yesterday, running the ball out of an I formation with a fullback, which is not exactly what the West Coast offense is all about? What if that's the Bears' offensive identity? And what if that clashes with Matt Nagy's own offense?
That's a great premise.
How do you handle that if you're Matt Nagy?
Yeah, how do you? And I think we have to discuss that this hour, the Monday Evening Quarterback. Adam Hoge, of course, covers the Bears, the Bears insider for WGN Radio. We'll take our first break, come back, and continue to talk about the play calling yesterday and the ugly loss of the Chargers at home. It's extension 720. Stay with us. All right, so let's get right into the Matt Nagy play calling, because everyone's going to get on him about what happened at the end of the game there, which was a little bit of a head-scratcher for what we know to be an unconventional and somewhat aggressive coach for him to go into Dick Geron mode at the end of the game. It's very strange. But this is I think, where Bears fans are confused, because you're seeing a coach that will take a shot at 4th-and-8 and 4th-and-10 or do things that are unconventional against the wisdom of football, and then do things that are so by the book that they remind you of 1982, early Mike Ditka. I don't know what it is about Matt Nagy and his inconsistency. Case in point. And everybody's talking about it today. The drive that he had coming out of the half, in which they went to the I formation, they put Trubisky under center. You saw the Chicago Bears offensive line make blocks. You saw the offense, the wide receivers make plays. You saw the so much more comfort from Mitch Trubisky. Do the Bears players, are they the right scheme for a Matt Nagy offense?
Yeah, I think that's maybe what we potentially learned yesterday. Now, I'm not going to, you know, make huge proclamations about if they should be in a completely different offense just based off of one drive, but this is a team that has been struggling to find their identity all season long. And they had this great drive, 11 plays coming out of halftime, 75 yards.
Looked like a whole different team.
They ran the ball 8 times on those 11 plays, and they were in an I formation or an offset I formation on 8 of those 11 plays. And the runs were working. He committed to the run, ran with the fullback, and obviously for those that are I formation, your quarterback's under center, fullback behind him, running back behind the fullback. This is old school power football. It is not necessarily the scheme that Matt Nagy came to Chicago to run, but here it was, and it was working. And they also ran 2 passes out of the I formation, including 1 play action, which I think I've been banging on the table and screaming for all season, that turned into a 31-yard completion to Allen Robinson, your number one wide receiver. Next play from the 4-yard line, David Montgomery pounds it in with old school power football, which if you had watched the first half when the Bears were 0 for 4 getting into the end zone once they were in the red zone, that this was simple. Just hand it off, power football, and it worked. And that's where I'm getting to the idea that, hey, maybe your quarterback is better off running this stuff. Now, you have to mix it up, and I'm not saying come out and just run I formation the whole game. But what I am saying is when that works, and then your next 2 possessions, early in the 4th quarter, when you have a lead and you know your quarterback cannot necessarily be trusted throwing the ball, why did you throw the ball on 6 out of the 9 next plays, none of which were in the I formation?
All back in that shotgun RPO vibe. Yep.
All of it back in, not every play in the shotgun, but none of it in the I formation. And what did your quarterback do? He turned it over twice.
Now, Matt Nagy said, I knew the Chargers were going to adjust at some point, and they were going to, so we couldn't go back to that. He had excuse after excuse for not going back to that power football formation. But there's something to be said about what the Bears are doing in that shotgun with the RPO, that other teams have caught up to what Matt Nagy is doing. Does he recognize it? Do the Bears recognize the fact that one of the problems with this offense is it's stagnant, and that it seems like every defense that we're encountering every single Sunday has the Bears' number, knows exactly what they're doing?
Well, I do think there was an acknowledgement that when it specifically comes to the RPOs, the run-pass option, that maybe he should start running less of that and certainly stop leaving the best player on the opposing defense unblocked as the guy the quarterback is reading. Because we saw last week, and we broke it down last week, when the Bears tried to do that with Cam Jordan and the Saints, it did not work. And there was one specific RPO that turned into a sack that I felt like I spent all last week talking and writing about. So in this game against the Chargers, specifically to the RPO idea, there was less of that. And there was one specific one where, again, Joey Bosa, the best player on the opposing defense, left on block. That's the guy Mitch had to read, and I don't know that he did it correctly. He ended up keeping the ball. Bosa tackled him, and I felt like, and I could go back and look at it closer, but I do not know that there was an actual RPO run after that. Now, there were some plays out of the shotgun where they faked the handoff, and it kind of looks like an RPO, but sometimes that's actually just regular play action out of a shotgun. So I do think Nagy realized this and got away from it, and I hope he's learning more, because he also acknowledged today and admitted it in his press conference today that when he ran the ball on 2nd and goal at the 1-yard line on that whole crazy scenario right before halftime, where then they spiked it and they barely got off the, they barely had 1 second left to kick the field goal. He said he was fine with the fact that they ran the ball there, but he didn't like the run he called. And he acknowledged that maybe that should have been a situation where they brought the I formation back out there and pounded the ball in. And that's not what they did in that situation. So maybe he is learning here, and maybe after all the questioning today, a lot of it for myself, next week against the Eagles, there'll be a little bit more of what worked against the Chargers.
I hate to be the voice of all Chicago Bears fans, but a day late and a dollar short to be understanding what you're learning in year 2 after being NFL Coach of the Year. Now, I understand he's a young coach, but these are plays that I guess I point this out to you, Adam. Last year, we talked on the Cochran Show, and even into this year, Matt Nagy was somewhat of a gunslinger coach. There were a lot of questionable calls that went his way, and one of the reasons the Bears were 12-4, winning games close because of crazy, unconventional calls by the coach. It seems like the game is full of parity. It catches up. There's law of averages. He may be doing the same thing, and he's losing this year.
Yeah, I also think his players were playing with a lot more confidence last year, though. So, you know, it's easier to go into every snap believing that it's actually going to work. And when it's not working, you're having the opposite effect. And it affects how you play. And I wrote on Friday before this game that at least everything last week, every time I wanted to go blame the execution, it came back to a lack of execution when I wanted to, you know, instead of it being the scheme. I thought this game was different, though. So I'm going to defend Nagy for one thing.
Mm.
And that is, I think coming into this season, there was plenty of reasons to believe that his scheme was working last year and that the quarterback would be better off, would be better in it in the second year. This whole idea of going from 101 to 202, it that made sense. And I don't know what happened against the Packers in week one, but it didn't work. The quarterback lost his confidence, and it's been a mess ever since. So now that I understand Nagy to a little bit, you know, struggling with his idea of abandoning what he thought was going to be what he was using this season. Okay, now after defending him, I'm now going to say you're still a little too slow to adapt here, and especially within this football game yesterday, I still cannot understand. No matter how many times I go back and watch this and examine it, and I charted all 77 plays, how after that successful drive in the third quarter, one of your best drives of the season, in which you were pounding the football, how you could come out in those next two drives in the fourth and have a, you know, just completely run everything out of shotgun and have your quarterback continue to throw the ball. So that points to the stubbornness and just the okay, if you don't want that to be your offense, fine, but in this game, that was the way to win the football game.
Right, absolutely.
So finish this win, get your quarterback out with some confidence, and then you can reevaluate it during this week when you're coming to play the Eagles and your mentor, Doug Peterson.
Much more to come here, 312-981-7200, the phone number. Adam Hoag is with us. It's the Monday Evening Quarterback talking about the Bears' ugly loss to the Chargers at Soldier Field yesterday. We'll continue here right after the news of second half, so stay with us. David, it's Monday Evening Quarterback here on 720 WGN. Adam Hoag with us. Adam Hoag can be found on Twitter at Adam Hoag or WGNradio.com/Bears. It's a great piece up. We continue our Monday Evening Quarterback. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. All right. So we kind of, the premise here, good, the bad, and the naggy. And I want to get to the good, but maybe we stay with the bad and finish it off. One of the issues that has been plaguing the Chicago Bears all season long has been the offensive line. You saw them in power run in the power formation, the I formation. They seem to find their rhythm. But I have a question, and I don't know if this is the offensive coordinator, if this is the coach, whatever it might be. But the Bears found themselves in a ton of third and longs all game long. They were third and 10 plus, and close to the end of this game, they went. They needed a field goal. They were close, and instead, what happened? Joey Bosa went one on one with, I think it was Bobby Massey, and completely overrun him for a sack. Last time I checked, Joey Bosa is one of the best pass rushers in the AFC, and we've seen this over and over with the Chicago Bears. And I don't know if it's a scheme they run, or you may know more than I, Adam. But why is it that when we watch other teams take on and try to neutralize Khalil Mack, we're not neutralizing the best defensive players on the other side?
Well, I do think that it's a great point on this specific moment in the game. Look, you can't necessarily double Bosa the entire game.
But you can honestly, on 3rd and 15 when you need 7 yards to get in the field goal range.
Right. And I think the best way to attack a guy like that is very similar to what the Raiders did to Khalil Mack in London, which is sometimes you double him, sometimes you triple him, Sometimes you chip them. Sometimes you run away from them and leave them unblocked. You got to vary what you're doing, because these pass rushers get in a rhythm too, and they set up guys with moves. The best pass rushers are very technical in what they do, and unless you're watching them with binoculars on every single play, you can't really appreciate what they're doing. But I'll tell you what, the offensive lineman or the tackle that's going up against them, that's a one-on-one battle throughout the game, and that's the beauty of football. Those one-on-one battles are happening throughout the game, and to be honest, Bosa was getting the best of Bobby Massey throughout this football game. So to your point on this specific moment, the Bears have the ball at the 40-yard line on 3rd and 10, and they're not that far out of
they seal the game with a 10-yard play. Let's be honest. Yeah.
Well, this moment they're losing, but they're close to getting in the field goal range, and it would have given you two cracks at this field goal that Eddie Pinheiro ended up missing. So if he didn't make it in this moment, you still had time to get the ball back, which is what ended up happening. But what absolutely couldn't happen there was taking a sack. So you could put some of that on the quarterback, but I do agree that leaving Massey one-on-one with Bosa, when you consider how this game had gone in such a critical moment, was a mistake. And Trubisky got sacked. They fall out of field goal range, and they had to punt the ball.
It once again, and I don't know if it's a lack, if it's hubris, what it is, but it goes back to this idea that our offense is better than everybody, and we know it. We may not be executing, but our scheme is the best, and we know it, and you can't tell us otherwise. And once again, watching that, I can't imagine another coach in another situation viewing Khalil Mack and saying, you know what, he's fine one-on-one, we've got a better tackle there. That's what I don't understand about this Bears team, is it seems they make a lot of decisions, whether it's with the quarterback or whether it's with their defense, whatever it might be, that they just know they're better and it doesn't matter. And that, I think that's what frustrates us. In that case, Joey Bosa is much better than Bobby Massey. How he's one-on-one on a passing down at 3rd and 15 with so much on the line seems like a coach failure.
Yeah, well, beyond the fact that you're just almost in the field goal range there, which is obviously the most important aspect of this spot, the best pass rushers, and all pass rushers, they gear up on 3rd and long in obvious passing situations because they know they don't have to play the run. So it gives them a little bit of an advantage. And so that's why on your play card as a play caller, your plays that you have for those situations should automatically include help for the best pass rusher on the field.
Yeah,
that's
blew
all
my
planned
mind
during the week. That's how it works.
It has to, right?
And so I'm with you on this one. It did not make sense in that moment.
Okay, so I mentioned the 3rd down conversions. It seemed like the Bears went 3rd and 12 all game long. Why is that? Are they failing in their 2nd downs? It seems like it's always passing. It's always Trubisky missing there. But is this basic that they try to run the ball, they get nowhere, they try to pass the ball, Trubisky misses, and they're at 3rd and long?
To be honest with you, I didn't really feel like that was that big of a problem in this game.
Go take a look. I wrote it down in my notes that they were 3rd and 12 plus 5 times.
So, and they had 77 plays. So, I mean, that number makes sense. What I thought they were doing better in this game is they were actually avoiding 3rd downs because, what's so different about this game offensively is they actually moved the football.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the game, they have 388 yards of offense. They had 77 plays. It's amazing they lost considering that. It speaks to all the missed opportunities they had in the red zone. But I think what was happening, Justin, is that they were actually getting 1st downs on either 1st or 2nd down, avoiding 3rd downs. So when they did end up with the 3rd downs, it ended up just being those 3rd and long situations that naturally happen throughout a football game. So I have to go back and look at that closer, just to be honest. They absolutely were in some 3rd and long situations, and I guess to give them credit, Trubisky got them out of some of those.
Yeah, he did. He doesn't get a lot of credit for that. And I feel not unlike the Bosa situation and not unlike the failed RPO that we do here, that Mitch Trubisky, who has been terrible, he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm not trying to play like I'm a Cutler apologist. Mitch Trubisky's been awful. But we haven't done much for him in the sense that you're putting a guy who has been awful in 3rd and long situations. And most of the time, he's coming through or he's ending up in some sort of situation where he's turned the ball over.
Well, and we saw him be so good on third down late in the season last year. That goes back to me the confidence level, and that's why I really think that the head coach, the play caller here, can help his quarterback by protecting him more. Like in the fourth quarter with the lead, why are you putting the game on his arm? Just run the ball, get out of there with a victory. You go to 4-3, and Mitch has some confidence for once going into a week that's not going to be easy going to Philadelphia. And so I that's what I'm struggling with. And I also, you know, look, he made some plays. He made some good throws in this game. But every one of those good throws, to me, it's the NFL. They were throws you're still supposed to make.
Right.
I mean, Tariq Cohen running wide open in the slot, you make that throw.
Right.
And he still missed the biggest one of the game, which could have been the dagger. Nagy used that word himself today. The fumble was bad, but the play before that, he had Taylor Gabriel on a play they apparently practiced all week. Play action, by the way, out of the shotgun, which, you know, not I formation, but it was still play action out of the shotgun. It got Thomas Davis, a veteran linebacker, to bite just enough that Taylor Gabriel ran right by him, and if Mitch hits him, it's a touchdown and the game's essentially over. And he missed it. So I'm struggling to give Trubisky too much credit. I think the big throw he had to Trey Burton in traffic was a big time throw. But otherwise, these other ones that he hit, I'm sorry. It's the NFL. You're paid to make those plays.
Mm. Yeah, right. 312-981-7200. We haven't talked yet, and I put this would sort of be the end of the bad. We could talk about the defense coming up after the break. But Eddie Pinheiro, for all of the dancing and the circus environment over the summer, for this kid to win out in the very unconventional way that Matt Nagy held camp to make sure he had the right kicker, to be at Soldier Field in a game that had to be a must-win for the Bears, and for him to miss two easy field goals, it feels like it's not only on Eddie Pinheiro, but it's also on Matt Nagy.
It is if... Well, it's on Nagy. It's on the whole organization. It's on
Pace. Ryan Pace. Whoever co-signed on this idea that we're going to have a fancy, fun circus environment in the summertime to pick our kicker.
If, and this is a big if this goes downhill, not every kicker, but look, 95% of the kickers go through a bad game at some point in the season. It happens. So, to me, this is Eddie's been good. He only had one miss coming into this game. No question, he's got to make the field goals he missed yesterday, especially the 33-yarder and a 41-yarder with the game on the line. You got to hit it. And he did hit the big, 53 yards against the
Broncos.
The Broncos earlier this season to win the game, which imagine if they had lost this game or lost that game. I mean, Eddie really bailed them out there. So I'm going to chalk this up as the one bad game a kicker gets every year.
Okay.
And he better come back and not struggle. If he does, then maybe you can start to blame the process. But I don't know. This guy's been pretty good.
Yeah, it just, I guess for me, you know, and I'm sounding like a bitter Bears fan, and I think that, you know, a little bit with Matt Nagy sort of questioning the questioning. But you get to a certain point where last year we had such success so early in the system where no one expected from us. But it's what you do with expectations. And I think as fans, you always want expectations to be high and you want to surpass those expectations. That's what makes rooting for the Chicago Bears so great. We don't want to root for them when we think they're going to be 6-10 and they end up being 10-6, right? So I think that's the problem that I think we're all feeling right now is that this team, the expectations were NFC North and they could be 12-4 and they're going to be competitive. And what we're seeing is a really flat football team.
And that's why this is a good time for me to get this in, because I want to make sure I do get it in before the hour's up. This could have been a blowout. And that I just feel like this was an enormous missed opportunity for this team to get back on track this season. Because you had those red zone opportunities in the first quarter, and it should have been at least 20, probably 24-0. It could have been. And all of a sudden, if your quarterback gets some swagger back and you're scoring touchdowns, This could have turned into that Bucs game last year, in which they just absolutely smoked Tampa Bay at Soldier Field. And now all of a sudden you're 4-3. You got that swagger back. The defense was dancing in the end zone after Kyle Fuller's interception. You get a touchdown after that. Everything starts to roll differently, and this entire team is believing in Matt Nagy again. They're maybe even believing in Mitch Trubisky again, and there's a different feeling going into Philadelphia. They completely blew this. They botched it. And the entire season can go the different direction now. And I just, this was such a missed opportunity for the Bears. Sorry, I know that didn't make anything better.
No. So Monday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200. I'll read some texts and some tweets and get your calls in. And we'll talk about the good. The Chicago Bears defense played well. Kept the Chargers, when the offense was stumbling, once again, kept the Bears in the game and kept the highly respected Chargers offense off the field. So we'll talk about that coming up here. It's the Monday evening quarterback with Adam Hogue here on Extension 720. Stay with us. The Monday evening quarterback here on 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman with Adam Hogue. Adam Hogue at Twitter, Adam Hogue, or WGNradio.com/Bears. Reads his latest column, which is great, about the what kind of team, what kind of offense the Chicago Bears, what's their identity, even if they don't want it. What is it? It's a great read. All right, Adam, let's talk about the good. And it's, of course, the Chicago Bears defense. This is becoming a broken record. But the Bears defense, when things were looking grim, seemed to step up and keep us in the game, including a Khalil Mack sack right before the two-minute warning that really set the tone and forced the Chargers to change how they were going to approach that drive and gave the ball back for Eddie Pinheiro to miss.
Yeah. Look, the defense, once again, they're doing their job. Now, I had a couple moments in this game, like the 14-play drive they allowed the field goal. They struggled to get off the field on that drive. It was coming out of halftime, and you certainly, unlike past weeks where you could give them a pass because the offense couldn't stay on the field and the defense was the one that was on the field for 60 plus plays, eventually you're going to crack no matter how good you are. This game was different because the Bears dominated the time of possession, 38 minutes to 22 minutes. And, that specific 14-play drive came out, was their first drive of the second half. There were plenty rested, and same thing with the 4-play 75-yard drive that they allowed the touchdown. Now, that being said, the Bears defense allowed one drive in the entire football game more than 4 plays. They did their job. I mean, when you think about it like that, that's a dominating performance.
Yeah, right.
So they did their job, and once again, I go back to the first half and all the points the Bears did not put on the scoreboard offensively. Yeah. It's amazing. 38-22 the time of possession. The Bears lost the lead in the fourth quarter, in a fourth quarter in which they had the ball for 11 minutes. It's unbelievable that they lost the game.
Now, we saw elevated play, because we were talking about this last week, that we were wondering where Roquan Smith was, Leonard Floyd, some of the linebackers that they weren't around. You saw Roquan Smith come back with a vengeance. 58 was all over the field yesterday.
Yeah, I like what I saw from him. I can't wait to watch the coach's tape, to watch it even closer, to get that end zone angle on all the plays, to see how he was, where his eyes were and how he's playing. But that inside linebacker duo look like the one we're used to seeing with him and Danny Trevathan, really dominating. And it went back to the type of game in which the opponent could not run the football. And the Chargers have two good running backs in Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. And other than the 19-yard yeah. touchdown run, I think, by Melvin Gordon, they got nothing on the ground the entire game. And so it was at least encouraging to see that. So maybe we can end this on a little bit of a positive note.
No.
Look, they dug themselves a big hole here, 3-4. It's tough to imagine any scenario in which they come back and somehow make the playoffs. But it has happened before. I believe the Eagles were 4-5 last year and managed to get in. I believe they beat a team in the playoffs known as the Chicago Bears. But if this defense has recaptured, that mojo, and they continue to play this way, which they should still play this way, and Matt Nagy can sort out in his own head what this offense can be good at, they did pile up 388 yards in this game. They did plenty of opportunities to score. They finally controlled the football. If they can carry that on into the next game and solve the red zone problems and actually get in the end zone, well, now all of a sudden this is going to – it could quickly look like the team we thought it was going to be.
Just took half a season or more to
right.
get there.
And I just don't know that they can dig out of the hole when the one part that I'm just really struggling to think it's going to turn around is the quarterback playing consistently well the rest of the season. That seems like a big stretch to expect that.
Down the stretch in the last 2 minutes of the game, 3 minutes of the game, I put together a list of players making plays or not making plays, because that's really what it seems like with Matt Nagy's system is what it comes down to. I mean, we're more often than not, these are competitive games. You throw out the Redskins game and I guess possibly the Saints game that we just, the terrible Saints game a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And these games are competitive, even if the Bears are losing. But when the plays need to be made in the fourth quarter, Trubisky, interception, fumble, right? Leonard Floyd, who had a great game, but that face mask...
Yeah,
was huge. They were going to put them in a third and long if he doesn't do that face mask. And the next play, I think it was the next play, Aguilar has the touchdown.
I think you're right.
Trevathan missed the tackle on the goal line, which would at least made it a goal line situation for the Bears in that situation, right?
Yeah, I think he was in the wrong gap.
81, yeah. I don't even know who 81 is, negates the run back, which was a successful run back on the kick, on the punt with a block in the back. Which is like, I don't even know who 81 is. They just said holding 81, blocking the back. So who's getting a block in the back with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, that's where I go, hashtag Bear special teams.
Yeah.
It's always a problem. 81, by the way, is J.P. Holtz, the fullback.
Okay.
Who I actually
who played well,
has, been,
yeah.
has been a good addition.
Yeah, well,
but
he can't, you see what I'm saying, right?
Yep.
Rashawn Coward, holding call on a Montgomery play with a five-yard gain, and then Nagy threw the rest of the way. And then Bobby Massey blows the sack on Bosa. Now, those are all negative. The positive, Montgomery fighting for first down in the last 2 minutes. That was amazing to watch this kid who was continually keeping his feet. Trey Burton, as you mentioned, the big catch in traffic. Khalil Mack, the big sack before the two-minute warning. Prince Amukamara, who should get credit for holding up Hunter Henry at the first down spot so he can't stretch the ball out to give us
huge
the ball
play.
Back. Huge play. And I want to end on Mitch Trubisky scrambling at the end of that game, which we have not seen him do in I don't know, 6 weeks, where he, with his feet, bails out the entire Bears offense and gives the ball to Eddie Pinheiro to win that game. I mean, it was amazing to watch it. There was something inside of me that got real excited watching Mitch Trubisky run that football.
Yeah, and we haven't seen that. And that was one of those plays where you're going, oh, this is going to be really, really, really bad. Oh, it's really, really, really good. So they got, maybe that, you know, that's another thing. They got to figure out how to get more of that going. I understand he's hurt, but you're right. And all those are good points, the good and the bad plays down the stretch. I'd also point out Taylor Gabriel made a big catch, too,
yeah,
in
right.
the fourth quarter on a ball that I thought was a little high. But you know what? That quarterback, he still... It's great that he scrambled and got him in field goal range, but if he makes the throw to Taylor Gabriel on the bomb earlier in the fourth quarter...
Yeah, it's over.
It's probably over. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just think that list right there, and we'll wrap there, but that list right there shows you the contrast where it shouldn't be that many players making plays and that many players screwing up plays.
It should
be like that with less than 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And that shows the inconsistency of this Bears football team.
One final thought, if I can, on the situation at the end with the field goal. If you're going to be thinking negatively, like what could go wrong in this situation, so you're basically then weighing, if we run or throw the ball, there could be a penalty, a turnover, or a sack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to avoid that. Versus the negative on the kick would be he misses it, right?
Right.
So those are your two possible negative outcomes
right.
in that spot. Well, here's the thing. If he misses the kick, the game's over. You lost. If one of those negative things happened...
You still got another shot.
You still have another down.
Right.
It was first down when they knelt. So you had a couple
Absolutely.
Downs. Absolutely. So that's, again, what I'm struggling with here, with this whole, oh, something could go wrong. Yeah, but the game wouldn't have been over. If he misses the kick, the game's over.
Adam Hogue covers the Bears for WGNRadio.com. You can find it all there and on Twitter, Adam Hogue, and he'll be back next week after we beat the Eagles. All right, Adam, thanks for sharing all your insights tonight, buddy.
All right, good stuff, Justin.